coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Friday, the 14th day of October, 2022. I want to welcome everyone to today's program and tonight's program. And I want to thank you. Thank you so much in advance for your support. Folks who are Patreon members, watch your email. I'm wrestling with the possibility of having a special Patreon meeting this Sunday. However, it's going to depend on a couple of things I'm still waiting on, even at this late hour. So tomorrow or Sunday, check your email, possible Patreon meeting, special Patreon meeting on Sunday. I just want to kind of throw that out there. All right, Eric the Tech, it's the weekend. I want to sing that song from, what was it, Leo Sayer? I'm not sure. Anyway, how are you today? You ready?
Yep.
All right. Doesn't matter. Weekend, weekdays, we work and we work. All right. Did you catch yesterday's show with Steve Coyle? I thought it was fabulous. I'll tell you what. He was on fire specifically. And, I'll tell you, sometimes he just hits it out of the park we've been getting a lot, just kind of to open this up a little bit. Yesterday, the consumer price index, the CPI, came out at 8.2%. Now, you know, they expected 8.1, maybe 8, whatever, okay? 8.1, and you think, well, boy, 8.2, that's pretty doggone close. So what difference does it make in my best Hillary Clinton impression? What difference does it? Now, look. Makes a lot of difference, especially when you subtract the core index from that. Meaning, you know, when you take out the food and fuel and such, believe me, we are in a world of hurt. Now, I want today's program to go. I want to give you some information that you can't get anywhere else, or if you do, you know, at least you've got some. A different take on things. How's that? A couple of things that I'm going to be getting into and showing you. And you may think this is redundant. It's not. Just to give you a heads up here. You know, Alex Jones was in the news this week a lot. The $1 billion jury award to the victims, the families, or to the families of the victims of Sandy Hook. Okay. You may think, well, this is, you're talking too much about Alex Jones. Okay. It doesn't really have that much to do with him. And I want people to really understand that. It really doesn't. It has to do with you and me. So I want to touch on that or talk about that. I want to talk about Bill Gates and digital identifications and vax passports or passports and digital ID, the money going into that. I want to talk about something else that's related to the Jones issue, but I've talked about before, and that's the Bank of America issue. Canceling a popular conservative on social media, a social influencer. I want to talk more about what to expect. Now, I'm graced. I think I'm graced by the fact that I can talk to people off air, and at odd times of the day or night. You know, there might be a 3-hour time difference. So if I'm talking to someone at 5 in the morning, it's 8 their time. Or if I'm talking to someone at 2 in the morning, it's 11 their time. It just depends. I'm going to tell you what I think is coming in the next 30 to 60 days. And with that, I want to tell you this. Prepare like your life depends on it, because it does. Because it does. All right. There's going to be a lot of news, by the way, coming out in the short term ahead of the midterms. We only have, I don't know how many days left. Obviously, 3 weeks left to the midterms, roughly. Okay, so we're looking at a lot of real estate there. A lot can happen between now and the midterm elections. And I look at the midterms just simply as a mile marker in the road of life, because I don't think it doesn't matter to me. I mean, it matters, okay? I certainly don't want to see Fetterman in my home state, that hot mess of a person, in a Senate seat. I really don't want Oz either, but okay, given the two, it's not that difficult. And I certainly don't want to see Josh Shapiro there. And if you live in the Keystone State, I hope everyone listening to this broadcast, if you live in Pennsylvania for the midterms, I pray that you support Mastriano for governor. That's our only hope. If not, I'm going to be looking for new. Seriously, we're going to have to move our studio. I'm telling you, it's that bad. So that's your politics of the day, shall I say. But I want to get back to the bigger issue here. Yesterday, Steve Quayle, myself, we were talking about, we spent a lot of time talking about the vilification, nullification, and the destruction of people. And that's exactly what's happening right now. We are facing nuclear conflict as well. A couple of big issues here. Russia, and you know what? You can watch Fox News all day long, all night long. You're not going to see this or hear about this. The fact that the citizens are being prepped for nuclear war in Russia. And you may think, well, that's just BS. But look, and no nukes will fly and all this. Or if it's nuclear, it's going to be limited in nature. Yeah, tell that to the people affected by a nuclear blast. Now, there's a lot of things that can and I suspect will happen between now and the next mile marker, the midterm elections. And even to the point, when you look at these mopes especially on the left, these mopes running for office. Are you kidding me? I mean, we're going to put these communists in office, or people who support them are going to put them in office. Obviously, there's going to be cheating. So my issue here is I'm wondering if we're going to get to the midterms. And if we get to the midterms, how much theft will there be? Especially if we're using the same systems and the same processes that we used before. You think anything's going to change? No, heck no. So, but you got the left walking around like they're going to be in power forever. At least that's what they're portraying, right? So why is that? You have to ask yourself. Again, from my investigation, look, I'm just an investigator, right? But when I look at somebody that is really cocksure of something, and I've had interviews like this. I'll just share this real quickly with you. I remember one time I had an interview near the Catskills in New York. And this was a woman who was... I really don't want to give too much out because you know how litigious people are, but this is a woman who claimed innocence from a crime. Absolutely innocent. And she walked around, and every time I met with her, and this investigation took a while. It took a couple of weeks. And every time I met with her, she was like absolutely almost convinced me that of her innocence, proclaiming her innocence. And even to the point of, see, look, check the surveillance video out. Even back then, some places had surveillance. Check this. Okay. I'm not lying. And I thought, wow, you know, could I be wrong? But the more I ask questions, I mean, the more questions I ask, and the more Columbo-ish, for those people who know that, I became, the more she became rattled. And finally, I got the break I needed. And she paid a heavy price for her criminality. Now, will that happen here? I don't think so. I would say this, even if we had a complete win across the board, and we had people in office I'm telling you right now, you can have all the hearings you want about the jab. You can have all of this stuff, the criminality, all of the hidden records, you know, 75 years. Yeah, we you have all the hearings you want about this. Is anyone going to be held accountable? No, I don't think so. At least not in that fashion. But I'm going to tell you what I believe will happen. I believe the people are going to clean this up. Now, you might say, you know, this isn't the Wild West. Oh, not yet. But see, when you've got the consumer price index going up to 8.2% without the core CPI, let me get into this first. Yesterday when this came out, this was reported in, where is it here? Breitbart. Prices paid by U.S. households surged higher in September as a wide range of goods and services became more expensive. Yeah, okay. Prices rose 8.2% compared with the year earlier. The latest CPI showed on Tuesday evidence that the price stability sought by the Federal Reserve remains an elusive and distant destination. Now, okay. You're out and about, folks. I know you are. And you see people waiting in line for their Starbucks, right? For their $6.25 cup of coffee. How one can justify paying $6.25 for a cup of coffee? I don't know. I could never do that. Oh, sure. When I'm at a conference in a hotel with a coffee place right there, and you're kind of a captive there. Yeah, okay. But as a matter of routine, are you crazy? I mean, seriously? But yet we see it. But let me continue with this Breitbart piece, because I think this tells a tale. And I'll tell you why I see people meeting out justice accordingly. Compared with August, prices were up 0.04%. Now, this according to the Department of Labor, Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, here's where it gets good. Core CPI, which strips out the volatile food and energy prices. Now, you know what this does? It creates a lie. That's what it does. Obviously, it strips that out, but by doing so, it creates a lie. Rose 6.6% compared to with a year ago. Okay, what does all of this mean? You know, my wife and I were talking, I don't know, it was last night or the night before, about money and about shopping and about the cost of things. And, you know, and she find look, like I do, I go to the grocery store, man, my heart just, oh my goodness. All right. But writes Breitbart, that's the highest rate of core inflation since 1981, surpassing the 6.4% high hits in February and March. Now, you're going to have that lesbianic spokesperson. What's her name again? I wrote it down because I keep Karine Jean-Pierre. I thought Jen Psaki was bad. But you're going to have her trying to, you know, spinning this. And we saw this yesterday with after the news broke about the CPI. We saw all this crap. I'm not going to play this stuff for you. You know how good things are. No. In what on what planet are you living? Or, you know, it's not that bad. Yeah, it's a little bad, but not that bad. You see, because economists had expected the index to be up 0.2% on a monthly basis and 8.1% compared with a year ago. Okay, so it's up 8.2. So not that bad, right? See, it could be worse, but again, the core CPI was forecast as rising 0.4% month to month and 6.5% compared to a year ago. What does that mean? Well, it means that we're all going to be paying more for stuff when we don't really have to. Fuel on one side. This is a self-inflicted wound here in the West, specifically America. And if you're listening to this in any Western country, it's self-inflicted with the fuel. America here, by the way, and Steve mentioned this yesterday, talking about the strategic, I think he said this, maybe it was on something different, I don't know, but the reserves that we have being sold off. Are you kidding me? When we were an energy dominant nation, when Donald Trump was in office, versus today when Biden is on his knees over in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. And of course, the food part of things. Wow. But they're going to tell you, the figureheads are going to tell you that, oh, hey, things are fine. Things are fine. Things will not be fine. Because here's where it's going. I showed this graph, if you don't mind. I showed this graph yesterday briefly when Steve and I were talking about Aaron Brickman being on the show. And if you haven't followed him on Twitter, AG Brickman, if you haven't listened or watched the video clips or video interviews, you've got to watch them. But look at this graph, folks. This is where we're headed, okay, I believe. Now, you have to understand, too, when you see the bottom and then bounce back up and you think, oh, recovery and this and that, the time factors and also what happened during that time after and right before. So you see 1929 on the left. You see 1987 in the middle. This is for radio listeners for their benefit. Describe what we're showing here. And then 2022. Now, You could actually take 1987 out of that, except for, well, maybe that first upward bounce or that first upward, upward bounce from the bottom. And then forget about 87. And take a look at 29. All right. We are more on track with 1929 than we are with 1922. So in a nutshell, here's kind of what I believe based on everything I've been able to kind of put together. Here's kind of where I think we're going. I think we saw some of this over the last couple of days, yesterday and even today. You're going to see, some mishmash of things happen in the market. Whether it be the Dow Jones or whether it be the S&P 500. I want to put this as nicely as I can. Right now, the stock market, after the news and roughly, and I'm using rough numbers, 29-ish thousand for the Dow Jones. And we'll just keep with that for now. How would you like to, mid-November, wake up and find that Dow Jones number to be half of what it's at right now? Because what I think is going to happen, and we saw the last 48 hours, it certainly wasn't that boring in the market. But how would you, how about this? How about you think that next week, the week of the 17th, you're going to watch the stock market fall and fall and fall and fall. This is based in part on the numbers, on the Biden numbers. And then you think on Friday, okay, it's done falling. The crash is over. Everything is, it's going to be fine. And you see a little bit of uptick. So what do people do when they think, oh, we're at the bottom? Things are starting to go up a little bit. What do people do? That's right. They buy the dip. So all of a sudden, you got people buying the dip, buying the dip, buying the dip. And you can see, yeah, there you go right there. Buy the dip. Buy the dip. Same thing in metals. Hey, metals are down, you know, buy the dip. Okay.
Copenhagen.
Is that your brand?
The dip.
The dip. Copenhagen. Well, just kidding. In other words, just, you know, that you thought it was hit bottom the week of the 17th. Just kidding. And then all of a sudden, the week of the 24th, now it's for real. Yes, because see, the people that buy the dip and know what's coming, those are the people who make money by buying the dip, by buying low and selling high. But you won't be selling. People, they won't be selling. So they buy the dip and it goes up a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you've got all of these rich people, these rich entities selling things off. What happens then? Then the real crash happens. And there go your pensions. There go your 401ks. There goes everything you worked for. Okay, now, I'm kind of taking you through the week of the 24th, all right? Now, look, these dates, I'm not a date guy, so I don't know if it's going to be the week of the 20th. But I'm using this as kind of like a, what else am I going to use, okay? Week one, week two? Let's use these pretend dates. So all of a sudden, the people that bought low and can offload, that offload in time, can trade their bank notes into real assets, which is why when the crash happens and home prices fall to record levels, and I'm not a financial expert by any means, man, I'll tell you what, I'm not. That's why that's why you see BlackRock, Vanguard, and these other organizations, they'll buy at fire sale prices. Well, how do they do that? Because they know, not only do they know, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but you would think that, you know, if you're in a casino and you're at the roulette table and you know, seven, and you start betting on numbers, and seven comes up, and bada bing, 17 comes up, and then 24, and then red and black, and you hit every time. There are people upstairs. I'm going to tell you right now, there are people upstairs that are going to come pay you a visit. You know why? Because that's not normal. Same thing here. If they don't know in advance, then they're orchestrating it. This is the final takedown of a system, as Steve mentioned yesterday, of an unjust weights and measures. But this is an intentional burning down. We're not going to just vacate the house. We are going to burn it down. And then when we get done burning it down, then we're going to salt the ground. That's them doing it to you. So you can't own diddly. You won't own anything. You wonder how that happens? Well, I had everything in the bank. Wait a second. How do you think banks operate without, you're not going to have anything in the bank, or you could have a whole bunch of stuff in the bank and not worth anything. Or you could have money in the bank, have it worth something for a while, which I suspect will happen, but you can't get to it because the banks aren't giving it out because they don't have it in there. I mean, they have it, numbers, but physically, tell you what, do this. Go to a bank in the morning, the first thing in the morning, and ask for, I don't know, if you've got it, ask for $50,000 in cash. Just go ahead and do that. The manager walks over to you. Now, I have not tried this because I don't. They'd laugh. Oh, stop laughing, Eric. But they'd say, well, you're going to have to give us more notice. We don't have that much cash here. We don't have that cash here. Well, where's the NAT? Is it in the vault? Is it under the... Not there. Is it in the drawer? Nope. Do you have it? Nope. Well, where's it at? Well, it's in the community. Well, what's it doing there? It's my money. Well, it's what we do with it. I'm not going to belabor that point. The point is this. You're going to have people that will not be able to withdraw money from banks. Look, I don't know when this is going to happen in terms of before, after midterms. I don't know. I don't know next week, the week after. I don't know. All I know is those charts. Damn scary. And very, 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 I mean, you can overlay one over the other, and man, you know, they're matching right up. Excuse me, they're matching right up. So what I'm saying to you is this. You think 1929 was bad? Man, this is going to be by orders of magnitude flipping worse. And what do you think the people are going to do? The people who have lost everything, their pensions that they worked for, their bank account when they can't get... You think the Antifa crap was bad in Portland? I wouldn't want to be a banker, trader, or whatever, or a politician walking down the street. Because... they're going to be hanging from lampposts. That's my prediction. I mean, that's what I believe would happen. Gerald Celeni says that. You know, people with nothing left to lose, they lose it. Now it's coming true. Look, you could talk politics all flipping day long. You could say so-and-so is going to get in there. There's no white horse that's going to come and save the day. Do you get it yet? Man, George Carlin, I should play him. Look, it's a big club. You and I aren't in it. We'll never be in it. And by the way, you talk like this? You talk the truth? Oh, you want to have a bank account, do you? Huh. You want to speak? You want to talk about Building 7 on 9/11? You want to talk about the Twin Towers? When everyone in the world watched the impossible happen, and when I say impossible, the way they explained it, it happened. Just to be clear, it happened, but not the way they said it happened. London, you see the iconic clip. Oh, World Trade Center just collapsed, and over her left shoulder is World Trade Center 7. But it collapsed 20 minutes later. The script was given to her too early. But you know what? You talk to Uncle Fred or Cousin Mike or whoever, and you say, the buildings can't fall on their own footprint by two jet planes, by the fuel. Well, the fuel was really hot, melted steel in it. Yes, but what else? Well, you know, hey, look, Building 7 collapsed in its own footprint. Wasn't hit by a plane. Well, you know, the parts and stuff from the plane, the fires were hot. Okay. You can show somebody actual footage and have them not believe it. So why should you believe me? Why should you believe? I mean, you get the point, right? Steve and I were talking yesterday. GeoengineeringWatch.com. Stuff over your head. The smokes, the geoengineering, chemtrails, as they used to call them. Oh, that's just conspiracy nonsense. What are you, taking drugs? Why don't you crack that Prozac in half? Or double up? I know what I see. Ain't right. I know those charts. I know what I see. But try to convince, you see, we're living in a time when the great delusion is here. We're living through it. This is why I think this Alex Jones trial is so important. Because it's not about Alex Jones only. He's just the poster child for what they're going to do to you. And you might say, well, I don't have a show. I don't even post on social media. It doesn't matter. Did you ever go out of your house? Did you buy anything? It doesn't matter. It is about you. And you know, some people get turned off from Alex saying, a million, billion, whatever. Look, you might as well, kind of like suing me. You might as well sue me for a quadrillion dollars. Okay, big deal, you won. You want me to write you a check? Let me write you a check. There you go. But see, here's the thing. It's not even about the money. Indirectly, it is. It's about your ability to live your life like you've lived it to this point. It is going to change right now. I mean, it's going to change. Look, when I say right now, in the immediate future, it's going to change. You will not recognize this country, I believe, in 6 months. You will not. I am telling you, this will, with all due respect to to, and I've had friends on Sanibel Island. It's going to look like Sanibel Island, economically speaking. That's what's going to happen. If you are not prepared for what's coming, and by preparation, I don't just mean food and water and bullets and beans. No, I mean prepared with God Almighty, and you are on your knees and saying, I am sorry for what I have done, for what I have allowed to happen. You pray to the God of the Bible, and you repent. Because there will not be a revival if there is no repentance. And how many people talk about repentance? Nobody talks about it. Nobody. Well, it's just a given. Who do I have to repent for? Oh, my goodness. But here's the deal. They're coming after you. Let's go to this is how it happens. I showed this yesterday. Actually, Eric the Tech showed this yesterday. Let's go to page 2 on the show prep for today. In case you missed it. Now, I said this yesterday. I'll say it again. A social influencer with a very, I don't know, iffy name, okay? The pseudonym is Cat Turd, okay? So that's, don't yell at me for saying that's the name they go by. Very popular conservative pundit, conservative influencer on Twitter. Bank of America cancels popular conservative Twitter users' bank account. This is Bank of America. Hashtag Bank of America's commie trash. If I were to make a hashtag, it would be demonic trash. And there's the icon of the account there. But it's just not happening there. It's happening to celebrities. Is that Kanye West? Isn't that Eric the Tech? Isn't that Kanye West that also had? Do you know? I don't know. So anyway, hang on a minute. You know what? I know because I had it here for show prep and I just didn't pull it out of the material. Kanye West was canceled from J.P. Morgan Chase, and that account was canceled from Bank of America. And then you've got, and you know what? I apologize if it's anyone from my audience, but you get people on Twitter who says, what's canceled? You mean they just close the account and send you your money? Oh, credit unions are the way to go. There's one. And I could go on. And then I love this one because these are AI bots. Who cares? See, that's the thing. I got mine. Too bad for you. I got mine. That's like the mentality that we're seeing, but it didn't happen to me. Oh, and by the way, I would never. How dare you? I would never talk about the families of killed children killed by an assault rifle at a grade school. I would never, ever question any of that because that's so cruel to the families. And how dare that SOB? How dare him question that? And that's what this is all about, because it's not just that, and it's not just him. again. Social influencer canceled from doing banking. Kanye West, White Lives Matter, canceled from doing banking. Canceled your bank account. Oh, remember PayPal? Yeah, $2,500 fine if you insult someone. Stochastic terrorism. Okay, I want you. I mentioned that yesterday. I'm going to tell you that again today. I've spoken about it before. That's what we are, or that's what we're going to be labeled as, stochastic terrorists. The fact is that our platforms will be blamed, just like Alex Jones will be, or our positions, ideology will be blamed for what? For the next school shooting or something, or insert tragedy here. That's what this is all about. I want to play this right now. Or have this played. This is video number one in the show notes. This is perhaps one of the most coherent and important pieces I've ever heard Darren Beatty do. Ever. And that's saying a lot on Steve Bannon's program. This is video one in the show notes. Darren Beatty. Video one. Yes, sorry. I mixed myself up there, Eric the Tech, earlier. I mixed you up. No, I mixed myself up. Darren Beatty, freedom of speech has had a price set that Americans must pay. Please pay attention to what he says. This is a long piece, but deliberately, purposely long, because every word is important here, because it is your future. And more importantly, because I like you, but I like your kids better. I'm kidding. It's for your children. If you don't care, think about your kids. Watch this.
Beatty, Darren, you've been studying this a long time. What's your reaction to all this, sir?
Well, it's remarkable and disturbing. We've been covering the case against Alex Jones for quite a while now. And you know how they say free speech isn't free. Well, I think we just learned what it costs. Free speech costs $1 billion. If you want to speak against the regime and any regime narrative, you got to pay up. You'll be destroyed. That's the message that this sends. And if you have video proof of what you claim the regime is doing, then they'll kill you like they're doing to Assange. So in that respect, Alex Jones is doing comparatively better. But it's really outrageous. It has an enormous chilling effect. And not to get too much into the details of the case, but really any national tragedy, and of course, Sandy Hook was a great national tragedy, but any tragedy of national significance with political implications, Americans should be able to say what they want about it. And this idea that the regime can selectively exploit the victims' families in order to basically rewrite the Constitution.
Is that what happened here? Because, and we're trying to, like I said, Alex is going to call in here a second. Is that what happened here? Or was this going after the families? Because a lot of people are going to sit there and go, hey, look, the kids got shot. They got murdered in cold blood. And what happened. So make sure, let's walk through the key elements of this so people can understand, because it's not as simple and straightforward as I think, as I try to lay out. It's more complex than right. That. So walk me through the complexity.
Absolutely. Well, it depends how much granularity you want to get into this, because it's really competing interests of transparency and concern for victims' families. And what I think is the reasonable position is, once a tragedy reaches a level of national significance and basically politicians are trying to pass through extremely significant legislation on the basis of a certain event, that American citizens should be allowed to basically question that event in any way that they deem fit. And the notion that you can use basically the feelings of grieving families to silence open discussion about tragedies, that is a very, very dangerous precedent to set.
Was this an open discussion about a tragedy? Is that what you're arguing?
Yes. I think that Alex, you can say that he spoke irresponsibly, and I think even Alex Jones is the first to acknowledge that he didn't conduct himself. You know, if he could do it over again, he'd probably have more due diligence. But think about the precedent this set. Should people be prohibited from being allowed to speak, for instance, on the Las Vegas shooting, the biggest shooting in our nation's history that's still curiously unsolved? Should the regime be allowed to pick victims' families and have them say, you know what, we feel uncomfortable with people asking questions about this? Anything that's a national tragedy is going to have grieving families. And the question is, should those families be entitled, you know, through basically, I think they're being manipulated, should they be entitled to silence open discussion on things? There's another question here is Seth Rich. You know, the family of Seth Rich started suing anyone who, you know, questions the circumstances of his death. So for things of national significance, is that the right precedent to say basically whenever there are any grieving families associated with any national event with profound political implications, that you better watch what you say about this, otherwise we will completely destroy you economically, if not worse? I think that's a very dangerous precedent to set. I don't think it conforms to the spirit of the First Amendment. And I think especially now, given what corrupt and illegitimate criminals run this country, we need to err on the side of people being able to speak openly about events, and even when it's not approved by the regime.
We're going to start. We've got both Naomi Wolf. Mark Stein has now been notified he's being investigated by the British government for having Naomi on his show on GB News a couple of nights. He's been notified that. We're going to have Julie Kelly on at the top at 6 about the revelations and Schmitz, the AG of Missouri, is now running for the Senate. He's got an explosive case, I guess, against Facebook, but some of the disclosures about the FBI field office out in Silicon Valley is incredibly disturbing about their manipulation of the about their manipulation of data. I can't read that. You're gonna have to put that in English. Thank you. What is Revolver? Give us your analysis of this. Give us where people can go to get this.
Okay. You can cut that right here in the interest of time. I'm going to come back to that momentarily because we still have to take care of business. I want to thank our supporters, especially our corporate sponsors, including Policy Genius, all one word, Policy Genius. You know, I used to be a captive agent a long time ago, another lifetime. And I used to market life insurance. Okay. And let me ask you a question. You want a guy with a briefcase coming to your house and talking about life insurance? Do you want to go to an office talking about life insurance? No. Look, it is important. It is important that everyone is insured properly because you never know when something bad is going to happen. I have a friend who lost a wife with kids, and she was insured. Now, that insurance allowed him to maintain, didn't have to move, didn't have to make any changes. Obviously, missing the wife terribly, but the fact of the matter is, enough money to take care of the expenses plus maintain the way of life. That's why it's important, okay? And I used to do this for a living, and one thing I was always afraid of is, well, gee whiz, what happens if they would go to Prudential or another competing company? Well, guess what? Life insurance right now, make it easy on yourself. I'm telling you right now, the easiest, the best place to go for life insurance or anything that you can insure that you care about is policygenius.com. We use it. My family uses it, has used it, and it was so easy. Nobody coming to your house, nobody bugging you, nobody trying to upsell you, none of that stuff. It was so easy. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. That's exactly what they did. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from the top companies like AIG and Prudential in just a few clicks to find the lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 a month for $500,000 of coverage. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid unnecessary medical exams. People love that. They're not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. No wonder they've got thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net. Give them that by way of policygenius.com. You deserve a smarter way to buy insurance, to find it, to fit it to your needs. That's policygenius.com. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description box to get your free life insurance quotes to see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. I want to thank them very much for sponsoring this program. Okay. You heard Darren Beatty talking about what this is. This is much deeper than Alex Jones. This is much deeper about Sandy Hook. Think about that. You heard Darren Beatty say Las Vegas. Well, does that mean we can't ask questions because a family member might feel hurt or their feelings hurt or emotionally traumatized by asking questions about Vegas? Or go back to 9/11. Same thing. Or whatever the case, Seth Rich. Watch the whole clip, folks. Watch the whole clip. This is done for one purpose and one purpose only. That is to make sure you don't ask any questions that are not approved. That's what this is all about. You know, look, it's hard. It's difficult. I cannot defend the wisdom, if you will, of the coverage. In fact, I don't know what was covered, what wasn't, although I was entered. I made a cameo appearance in the courtroom. I was entered as an exhibit by the plaintiffs. Okay. Just saying. They want to shut you up. Guess what? It's coming. But by being in the vicinity, I don't know. Anyway, but here it's this whole thing sets a very dangerous precedent when the feelings of grieving families. Now, I have a heart for grieving families. I really do. But when they can be used to silence reporting, even as crazy as it is, if it is, on tragedies of national significance, and we've got a problem because they are taking away your ability to ask questions and they want to shut you up from asking questions. Hey, my father died in 9/11 and you're saying it didn't happen the way they said it, the way the government said it happened. Well, I'm emotionally traumatized, so I'm going to sue you for $10 million, $100 million, 50, whatever it might be, $1 billion. That's what this is set up to do. But they're working hand in hand with the social media companies. And guess what? A social credit score. Because again, you can't ask questions. You've got to go to revolver.news. There is it's page... Page one, love him or hate him, the war against Alex Jones is a war against us all. This is from August 6th of 2022. Okay, this is after the Texas trial, not the Connecticut one, but the Texas trial. And Darren Beatty goes through goes through a whole litany of things that discuss what problems this brings. Now, thinking people, not knee-jerk, reactionary, pink-haired, you know, tatted up, pierced people. Thinking people will understand this because this is a war against all of us to shut us up, to shut platforms like this down. And if you don't think they're coming for me, they're coming for me. They're coming for Steve Quayle. They're coming for all of us. And just because you don't have a platform like this doesn't mean they're not coming for you. Wait until you go to try to use the ATM and the card says, nope, sorry, go see the teller. And the teller says, well, you know what? We don't want to do business with you anymore. And then And then this, very quickly, because I'm running out of time. Let's go to video two. If you thought digital IDs and vax passports were going away, think again. This is from Dan Bongino. You got to see this. We're going to play a minute or two of this, but watch it in its entirety here. Go ahead and play video two.
Foundation, post-millennial. This is in a newsletter. Read this. Bongino.com/newsletter. Subscribe today. It's free. Get you these stories right away. Hannah Nightingale. Gates Foundation pledges $200 million for international digital IDs. Of all the other means of identifying and tracking subjects, digital identity poses perhaps the gravest technological threat to individual liberty yet conceived, said this commentator, Michael Reckdenwald. Folks, he has this book out called The Google Archipelago. Great play on words there. He's been warning about this. The greatest threat. He also says it has the potential, digital IDs, which apparently the Gates Foundation loves. It has the potential, listen to this, to trace, track, and surveil subjects and to compile a complete record of all activity from cradle to grave. I have been warning over and over and over and over about this. We are looking at a surveillance future so dangerous. Folks, they are going to know every single place you went. When this digital ID, when it's linked to all the other means to satisfy your existence, your ability to spend money, your ability to enter a medical facility, a government building, a courthouse, these digital IDs. You see how the vaccine passport, by the way, was a little trial run for this. When it's linked to all of this, they will have a complete record of your life. You marry this up. Sorry, I got to calm down. I get excited about this and I start talking too fast. I got to catch myself. I'm doing my own self.
Dan, you should be excited about this. It should piss
you
off.
When you marry this up with a digital currency, so nobody can spend money without the marriage of the ID and the currency.
It's already happening.
You see, they have a metadata record of just about your entire life, what you purchase, where you visit online. Imagine having a digital ID and them using it to sign into a computer. There'll be no way to escape. There'll be no way to be anonymous. Remember what I told you about the difference between totalitarian societies?
And cut it off in the interest of time. I want you to watch the entire clip, please, because he gets into some very interesting things. If you don't think this is already happening, go to New York State, be a resident, and try to get a concealed weapons permit. You know what they're looking at? They're looking at your social networking postings to give you so you're allowed to carry a weapon? Are you serious? Kanye West, ask him, how you doing? Huh? He got kicked out of whatever bank that was, Chase. How about the social influencer? Got kicked out of Bank of America. It's coming. They don't want you asking questions. They're pushing you into this cattle chute, all of us, into this cattle chute. And that's what this is about today. We are entering the cattle chute. And one of the biggest, and I'm going to go back to the beginning, one of the biggest ways of control, especially now, is money, through your money. They're going to burn down the house, burn down the system, okay? They're going to take away your money, your ability to buy, and those people who survive that will be made to get digital IDs because we need them. And of course, they will control you from there. That's where this is going. And unless we stop it, that means not. No, no. Come here. No, no. You know, this is from yesterday. Okay. It used to be phone books, right? Smack them inside the head. Okay. That means this. Unless we, the people, take action. You think the midterms are going to save you? Think again. Think again. They're not going to save diddly. They're going to burn down the house, to survive, and salt the earth. They're going to take your money. Pensions, goodbye. See you later. I don't know when. It's going to happen very, very soon. That's what's on tap. Herd you into the cattle chute. By the way, I mentioned Patreon. I've got two pieces of information I'm waiting on. I will let you know via email to the patrons. I'm not going to waste your time, okay? If I don't get them, We won't have it. Check your email. God bless you. Have a good night. Thanks for your support. May God bless each and every one of you. Hit your knees, repent. Good night.